Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
With Virgin Mobile. Freedom is calling to brighten up your winter mornings. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, all morning we've been talking about just how we ruin our kids. Sticking their hands indoors, letting them fall. You know, all that mad stuff. But now let's talk about how kids ruin our lives and our sleep patterns and the effect that can have on your sleep pattern for years and years and years. On the line now is Chris McFadden. He's a sleep consultant from the daddysleepconsultant.ie, and he is here to help, I hope. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Jennifer. How are you doing?
I'm really good. Chris, first of all, if there's a parent, right, listening now of a newborn and is just at their wit's end, what would be your first bit of advice for them?
That is currently me. At the moment, I've got a 6-week-old and we're going through some struggles. Lots of parents think that as a sleep consultant, my baby's come out
sleepers.
I can assure you it's not. The biggest thing at this stage is really getting that day and night rhythm in place. Lots of babies come out with their day and night upside down. They've been used to being rocked to sleep in mum's womb during the day when mum's been on the move. And then when mum has settled down for the evening or the night and trying to get some sleep herself, the baby's often a little bit more active, which can lead to them coming out of the womb with their day and night upside down. So there's gentle strategies you can take to try and switch that around. I would certainly spend a little bit of time trying to wake them up a bit more during the day, not too much, because you don't want to make them sick, because they're awake when they're just shattered and they need to be sleeping. But when you know that they've been sleeping a little bit too long, do try and spend time to wake them up. You can put them into a lukewarm bath, for example, to try and stimulate their body and get them awake, and then you can give them a feed. You can also do the bedtime routine. It's something that we talk about a lot in the sleep world, and creating a differentiation between the day ending and that kind of boisterous, lively daytime noise that you will have in your house probably, versus the kind of calmer, more dimly lit part of the evening. And usually a bath is a great way to separate that. But even if you don't have a bath every night, you can separate it by just moving from that light room to a darker room. But really focusing on that day and night rhythm is really, really important.
Can I ask you, Chris, at what age? Because there's different thought processes here. Like, people say, oh, you can't do it until they're 4 months old, or you can't start. When can you start sleep training is what I'm trying to ask you. What is the age you can do that?
So I start from 5 months.
Okay.
And the reason being that they've passed the 4 month stage, which usually involves a big regression in baby sleep as the sleep starts to progress. So I don't start till 5 months. But before 5 months, you can use those gentle strategies, getting a bedtime routine in place, getting the environment right, getting the day and night in place. But also daytime routine doesn't really start to take effect to 3 or 4 months. And it's something parents, I don't believe, should be kind of forcing on a child much before that age.
Gotcha.
At 3-4 months, you can start to guide them into a bit more of a daytime routine.
And there's always trends in how to look after babies best. I mean, back in the 2000s, separation and denial of attention was in fashion. What is your approach?
Yeah, thankfully I wasn't around in those days doing this. It's not something I believe in personally.
Okay.
I think there's better ways of doing it. I'm a big believer in staying with the child until they're ready for independent sleep. Usually with my program, that's about 10 to 14 days into the program, albeit all children develop at different and respond at different rates or different speed. But 10 to 14 days up until that point, my approach with my clients is they're very much always with the child. The separation or the denial, as you called it, is just letting them kind of cry themselves to sleep and not think he's going to come back to them, which there is evidence out there to suggest that can cause some problems further down the line. But what I do want to stress is that so many parents often have a negative view of sleep training and sleep consultants, but it doesn't have to be. There is so much we can do, not just around sleep training itself, but changes to the routine, tweaks we can make to other things, the environment and what you're doing with your child, as well as the sleep training aspect of it. But as I said, I don't believe in leaving the child, and that's a big thing for me. It's about still being with your child, comforting and soothing them whilst they learn to be able to go to sleep themselves. And then as they can do that, they can start to go back to sleep themselves when they wake up during the night.
Okay, so what's your thoughts on sleeping with a baby?
So, no judgment from me. It's not something we do in our family. We've okay. never co-slept. I actually had to do it one night last week because our baby is suffering a little bit with he's seeing an osteopath, and we had to do it for a few hours because it seemed to be the only way that it comforted him. But we don't typically do it. My only advice is if you're going to do co-sleeping, then just do it in the safest possible way. There are safe sleeping guidance on the HSE website. There's also the Lullaby Trust in the UK. It's important to follow that. I can understand why parents want to do it. If they're feeding all night, it's an important way to survive. And that's what parenting at this stage is. Not just at the newborn stage, but all through the years, it's survival. And co-sleeping allows parents to get that little bit of rest throughout the night, but do follow in a safe way. And also, if you don't want to be co-sleeping longer term, just try and be mindful that once a baby starts coming into your bed, it can be very difficult to break that pattern because they're so used to that warmth and comfort of you being right beside them. It can then make independent sleep that bit more difficult. If you don't care about independent sleep and you're happy with co-sleeping long term, then that's not a problem. But just follow it in the safest possible way is my advice.
Can I ask you, because normally when I speak to a sleep consultant about babies, it's generally a really stressed out and tired mother who's been through it herself. It's so nice to speak to a dad about it. Mm-hmm. How have the roles of dads changed over the years, and how can dads get more involved? Because let's be honest here. Not to be make a massive generalization, but I'm gonna. Predominantly, it is the mother getting up because, you know, generally sometimes they do the feeds or whatever. And from friends and fans, everybody here, a lot of the time, because the dad goes back to work generally, a lot of the time, whatever, it's the mums who do this work. So, how can dads share that burden and get more involved?
It's something that has, it's definitely changed over the last 10, 15 years. My dad, I was born in Donegal. He was a Donegal man as well, and I don't think he ever changed a nappy. And his time, he was a labourer in Glasgow, and it wasn't his thing to be doing that. Things have changed. Cultures have changed. I work a lot in the UK, obviously, as well as Ireland, and I can start to see a lot more dads being involved in Ireland, which is great. Taking aside the fact that, obviously, we've got situations where there's single dads and there's gay dads, well, they are the primary feeders, they are the primary parents. Dads can get involved in many ways. Even in Ireland, there's still a lot of bottle feeding families. There's probably a little bit more breastfeeding in what I see in the UK versus Ireland, but bottle feeding is what we do in our house. I feed sometimes 50%, sometimes 100% of the night because I get back to sleep a lot easier than my wife. So I do as much of the feeding as my wife during the night. Even if you don't, then there's nappy changes.
Yeah.
There's taking the baby in the morning when mum needs to get a little bit extra sleep. Yes, again, obviously there might be challenges if the baby's breastfeeding, but if mum can express, then that's a way to introduce a bottle early on, which many parents find the introduction of a bottle further down the line really difficult. Babies kind of resist it. So if you can do that early on, that can really help. There's lots of ways that dads can do it. It's getting a routine in place as well, where mum is primarily focused on feeding, baby's well-being. Dads can then sometimes look at, how can I get this structure in place? Can we get a bedtime routine in place that can really help everything that's going on? Can we do some nice strategies around sleep as well? Can I do a little bit of Google research about it as well? So there's lots of things that dads can do that aren't necessarily feeding. But as I said, when there's bottle feeding in place, there's really opportunity. But I also understand that many men are out working in maybe not more difficult jobs than looking after a child the next day, but maybe physical jobs that they need to have the sleep because there's a
safety. But there's other things they can do as well. You can't just use the excuse, but I have to get up in the morning for work. There's a lot, like you said there, helping with routine, maybe doing different stuff in the day. It's so important to be, to have that support, isn't it? When you're going through this, because sleep deprivation is hell, let's be honest. Now, I just want to talk about really quickly kids that are a bit older. Because often you'll have those situations, like in my house, where the kid often comes into the parent's bed in the middle of the night. And that is a really tricky habit to break. Have you any tips on that?
Yeah, with toddlers, it's sometimes less about sleep and more about behaviour and setting boundaries. Often when a child starts to leave the bed, leave their bed and come into mum or dad's bed during the night, it's often about taking them back to bed and just repeating that every single time until they don't get out of bed, which at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can understand why parents don't do that, because they're shattered. They've got to get up in the morning and live life again, and they want as much energy. So they tend to just kind of let it be. But if you do want your child to stay in bed, the best thing you can do is take them back to bed as many times as it takes. If it's 100 times, if it's 50 times, if it's 5 times, do it, because they will then eventually realise that mum and dad's bed is no longer an option, and they will start to stay in their bed because it's not worth the battle for them. A lot of it with toddlers is about battle of wills, and toddlers have a much stronger will than us parents because we want an easy life.
Yeah.
But often we take the easy option, and it does lead to more difficulty down the line.
Can I put my husband into my son's bed and keep my son in my bed because my husband snores? Could we do that instead?
Many mums do that, actually. When co-sleeping is involved, it's often dad that's relegated to the spare room. They come on the phone and they're like, yeah, I'm relegated to the spare room. It's horrible. When both, we all know that inside they are secretly delighted.
Yes, this is so true. Just finally, Chris, overall, how much is it just luck of the draw with good sleepers, and how much is it something that we can change and have control over?
You can definitely have lots of control over it. There's no doubt about
good
that.
To hear.
There is a luck of the draw element. Mm-hmm. We've been a bit unlucky with our three children. Have all suffered, but it looks like that way with the third one as well, with reflux, which does have an impact. But you can take strategies. You can do things that will help change things. There is lots of resources out there. I've got lots of resources on my Instagram page. I've got a weekly Q&A. It's at the Daddy Sleep Consultant. There is lots of information, resources that can help you get into good patterns and routines. So even if you do get the luck of the draw, there's still going to be setbacks along the way, because you get different regressions, you get different development periods. So there is an element of luck of the draw, but you can, don't just assume that you've got a terrible sleeping child and you've been unlucky. You can do stuff about it. Doesn't always have to be working with an expensive or non-expensive sleep consultant. It can be free resources online. It can be looking at different things and speaking to parents at what worked for them. Every baby's different, but don't use that as an opportunity to kind of just let it continue.
So, yeah. Sorry, I just want to ask you, I keep saying finally question. This is a final question. When should you get the help of a sleep consultant? Where's the line? When do parents know that? Think, oh God, I really need some help here.
I wish it was earlier than when parents do come to me. But the reality is they come to me when they've hit rock bottom a lot of the time, which is they are not in a good place with their partner. They're bickering all the time because they're sleep deprived. They are absolutely exhausted. Their mental health is at an all-time low. They're not able to do any physical health. They can't get out of the house. They're not even enjoying parenting. They're looking at their child and they love them, but they're not enjoying the whole process. Usually that is when parents come to me, and I would suggest if you get to that stage, you do reach out to me or any other sleep consultant you wish to talk to. But I always recommend try not to let it get to that stage. If you do see that your child is waking up regularly through the night, they're not sleeping as much as you would hope or they used to, start having those conversations. It doesn't have to be when you hit rock bottom, because when you hit rock bottom, yes, we can absolutely change it. But you've then hit rock bottom and you're going through a tough time, and it's just not nice to see. But it's really humbling for me when I do then.
Sort it out.
Changes a life, that it's life changing, which is what happened with our first child. So, but that's when you know something's not right, reach out.
Absolutely. Chris, listen, good luck with the little one, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, love. There we go. That is Chris. He is Chris McFadden, the Daddy Sleep Consultant.ie is the website if you want to go and check him out.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.